Okay, thank you so much, and happy Sabbath to my church family, and I pray that we will all be blessed on this blessed day of rest.
Amen.
This evening, I would like us to talk about joint heirs with Christ, our spiritual inheritance. So often, we say we are heirs with Christ, but our attitude, our behavior does not reflect that. And we want our behavior and our attitude to reflect God's presence with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will draw nigh now to us and reflect your presence in us and give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and may your sweet Holy Spirit lead and direct us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
One of the most exciting things that took place at the cross and when Jesus and in Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven was the fact that we became joint heirs with Christ. This is the greatest victory to ever take place in the universe. And we have been made partakers in all that it represents. Romans 8:15-17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, with joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. A powerful passage. Because when we cry out, Abba, Father seems more personal than our Father. Because we recognize that we have been adopted into the heavenly kingdom. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises.
Amen.
Our light should shine so clearly that others can see that we glorify the Father in our daily lives, that we are connected with heaven and are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That when he shall appear in power and great glory, we shall be like him. And I
Amen.
Say, praise God. Now, there are two aspects of our inheritance. Now, the spirit that is the spiritual inheritance that are very important to us as believers is so important that we have to recognize that we have to take God's promises for what it is. Our spiritual inheritance in God is very important to us as believers because it defines our position in God and who we are in God. I'll say that again. Our spiritual inheritance in God is very important to us as believers because it defines our position in God and who we are in God. Ephesians 1:8-20. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know that it is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the workings of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now, if Christ is our elder brother, and Christ is at the right hand of our Father who loves us so much, who can be against us because we have our own elder brother Jesus interceding on our behalf? And I say, praise God.
Amen.
The first aspect of our inheritance is the eternal scope. The first aspect is the what? The eternal scope. And the second aspect is the here and now. God wants the eyes of our understanding to be open to both of these aspects. Let's look at Titus 3, verse 7. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, I believe it is very important for us to catch a glimpse of what our eternal inheritance is going to consist of, because it will help us to endure all that comes our way in this life when we see the greater glory that is awaiting us. Praise God. If we should look at 2 Corinthians, and I'd like somebody to read this for us. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. The first person that catches this, read it for me.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen. Did you get that?
Beautiful.
Because our light affliction, which is but for a moment, whatever is happening to us now, it is for a moment, and that is working for us a far more eternal weight of glory for us. Now let's look at Revelation 21 and verse 2. Revelation 21 and verse 2.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Can you imagine the vision that John saw? That great holy city coming down, prepared for us, the children of God.
Amen.
Now, Revelation 21 and verse 4, it says here,
and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Amen. The former things have passed away. So what we are experiencing here, all of the crying, all of the sorrows, all of the death that we are seeing that make our hearts so sorrowful, they shall be no more. And sometimes I refer to heaven as the land of no more. Let's look at Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31 and verse 19.
Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men.
Amen. So God is so great, and he has prepared all of this for us, the sons of men. Thank you, Lord. Now, again, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But it is written,
I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Now, can you imagine that God is saying that we cannot, even by the greatest stretch of our imagination, think of what heaven will be like. Now, the Bible is not specific on all of the details that await us, but it does say that it will be beyond our expectation and imagination, and it's going to be great. How about you? Do you want to share it?
Amen.
Now, if we shall look at, John 14, verse 1 to 4, it says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you.
I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Praise God. I want to give God thanks for this promise that he has made to us, and renewing it and restoring it in our minds tonight again is a blessing to us. Our spiritual inheritance here and now. Sometimes we question, should we believe that there's a spiritual inheritance here and now? Being a joint heir with Christ means that we actually begin to partake of his blessings right now. He has given to us the Holy Spirit to promise as a pay down or as a down payment that he will be with us. Because Jesus did say that I will go, but I will send the Comforter.
Amen.
I go, but I will send the Comforter. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us. Now, Ephesians 1:13 to 14, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were saved with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and his glory." Thank you, Lord. Now, I believe that, and I know that God does not lie, he's not in the tricking business. And if he says he has promised, it means that he has promised and he keeps his promises. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Now, hello, are we there?
Amen.
Yes, thank you. I just had to switch phones.
Yes, we're listening, Doc, and we are covering you in prayer.
Thank you so much. Now, let's look at Psalm 36 and verse 8. "They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you gave them drink from the rivers of your treasures." Thank you, Lord. That was Psalm 36 and verse 8. God is prepared to give us of all of his pleasures abundantly.
Hallelujah.
So those things included in our spiritual inheritance, we can continually draw from now because they are there. God has given us them, and it is something to look forward to. Now, let's look at a couple of verses very quickly. And the first one is 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. All things that pertains unto life and goodness. 2 Peter 3, 1 and verse 3.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Amen. If anyone wants to know, I have my youngest daughter, Danielle, assisting me here tonight.
Amen.
Now, partake in the divine nature of Christ. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, we are partakers of the divine nature of Christ. And that is, that text is 2 Peter 1 and verse 4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Amen. We have escaped it because
yes.
God has given us the victory over these things. The next one is power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. God has given us power and anointing in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. Again, power and anointing in the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2 and verse 27. God is so powerful that he has given us power and anointing in the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2 and verse 27.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Amen. Now, there are many times we individuals just go to church, and as they go to church, all they do is they're just fed from what is there. But we have the Word, and the Holy Spirit, God promised to teach us the Word through the Holy Spirit. So when we open the Word, let us ask that the Holy Spirit teach us the Word. Forgiveness, God has also given us forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt in 1 John 1 and verse 9. Forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt, 1 John 1 and verse 9, and also Romans 8 and verse 1. Let's look at 1 John 1 and verse 9 first.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Now, in the past, we did make a presentation which we talked about guilt and how the enemy likes to trap us with guilt. But God is here saying that he is faithful and just to forgive us. And when he forgives us, Jesus presents us faultless before the throne of mercy and grace. Romans 8 and verse 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. No condemnation. If God does not condemn us, who is there to talk against us? God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. God has given us... I'm sorry. Now, let us just remember that when God gives us the things that pertains to life and godliness, we should embrace it and keep it. We are in a world where light and knowledge abound. Yet many claiming to be like to be like precious faith are willingly ignorant. Many individuals ignorant because the light is all around us, and yet we do not appropriate it to ourselves. Let us not fall prey to that and study the word. Parents do not see the necessity of informing themselves, obtaining knowledge, and putting that knowledge into a practical use in their marriage life. If they followed the exhortations of the apostle and lived upon the plans of addition, they would not be unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, yesterday I met a lady, and she said to me that she's happy that her daughter is a Christian and goes to church, but she is not ready yet. I asked her, how do you feel that your daughter, you know, you should be setting the example, but your daughter is setting the example for you, and you're not even following. And she said, that is food for thought. I pray that she will start following soon. Many do not understand the work of sanctification. It is a progressive work. It is not attained in an hour or a day, and then maintained without any special effort on their part. They seem to think they have attained to it when they have only learned the first lesson in addition. And we need to realize that the work of sanctification is a continuous process. Jesus stood forth in human nature, a conqueror in behalf of the fallen race. When Jesus came from heaven, leaving the celestial glory, he did it for you and for me. And I thank you so much, Lord. He was an overcomer on behalf of every human being, and as a pledge that all who have received his name may resist the temptation of Satan and overcome in their own behalf as Christ has overcame in theirs. And we need to realize that we need to overcome the devil's temptation. There is not one of the feeblest of humanity that can be a conqueror by being a partaker of the divine nature. Every single one of us can be a conqueror in and be a partaker in the divine plan. As the branch is united to the vine and becomes partaker of the nourishment of the vine, so he who is one in Christ absorbs the elements of the life of Christ and are branches of the living vine. It means that we need to represent Christ in all of our doings. Every member of the human family is honored by the achievement of his wonderful victory, making it possible for every soul to become partakers of the divine. He will connect with Christ. Divine health and healing. God has given us divine health and healing in Matthew 8, verse 17.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness.
So God bore our sickness for us. He has given us the divine healing. God desires us to be healed. And this healing is not only physical, but spiritual also. God has also given us freedom from poverty. And it may seem a little ironical, but he has given us freedom from poverty. Let's look at Matthew 6 and verse 36. Matthew 6, let's look at 3 John 1 and verse 2. 3 John 1 and verse 2. The prosperity in all things, including our souls. Prosperity in all things, including our souls.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Very good. So God is wishing here that we really prosper in everything. He has given us love. He has given us joy. He has given us peace. He has given us righteousness in the Holy Spirit. God has given us these things. If we look at Romans 14 and verse 17, he has given us, let us claim them. Romans 14 and verse 17.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
God has also given us victory and freedom from the bondage of sin. If we should look at Romans 8 and verse 11. He has given us victory and freedom from the bondage of sin. Romans 8 and verse 11.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, ye that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen. So God raised up Jesus, and that same Spirit that he raised Jesus up, he shall quicken our mortal flesh and raise us up. Praise God. Now, we are more than conquerors in all things. We are more than conquerors. God has given us the Spirit, the gift to overcome things. And again, we look at Romans 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 and verse 37.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Praise God. Praise God. Again, God has given us an abundance of grace for every good work. He has given us an abundance of grace for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work.
Amen. Now, God has given us an understanding of the mystery of God's will. He has given us an understanding of the mystery of God's will. Ephesians 1 and verse 9.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself.
So again we see that God has given us, he has revealed to us these mysteries. And if we look in Daniel and Revelation, and we really should be doing a course in Daniel and Revelation, and anytime we hear of these courses, we should always try and go and do a refresher in them, because this is where God has revealed his mysteries to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God has given us divine guidance. Romans 8 and verse 14. He has given us divine guidance. Remember, we're talking about we being heirs to the throne of mercy and grace. And God has given us all of these things. Romans 8 and verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So God has given us these things, and he has given us happiness. Happiness, if we look at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. So, and then he has given us security in Psalm 91.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
So God is telling us that he will help us, he will keep us under his Almighty wings. God is seated in heavenly places where Christ is. And Christ is at his right hand interceding for us. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. So, he's saying that he's seated in heavenly places with Christ.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So, when Christ comes, we shall be in heaven. This is the teachings of the Bible. And I am looking forward to being in heavenly places with Christ. Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. Praise God. Now, let us look at keys to possessing your inheritance. 1. Believe that it belongs to you. Believe that it belongs to you. God has made a promise, and we must believe. As you can see from what we have discussed before, there are many things that have been given to you to enjoy in this life that will help you to be productive and successful in fulfilling God's purpose and destiny in our lives. But we have to meditate on these things so that we'll get God's words firmly established in our hearts, believing that they actually do belong to us. We have to be like Abraham and not waver at the promises God has for us. Romans 4 and verse 20 to 21. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully conceived that what he promised was also able to perform. We have to remember that belief has to be firm, not wavering. Number 2, we must cultivate a lifestyle of faith and obedience. We must cultivate a lifestyle of faith and obedience. A big part of gaining inheritance has to do with cultivating. And by cultivating, we mean by practicing an obedient lifestyle before the Lord. We are told in Proverbs that a faithful man or woman will abound with blessings. As we are faithful to cultivate a heart of faithfulness in obedience and faith, we will abound in the inheritance of God as for us. Hebrews 11 and verse 8.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going.
And we have to remember that without wavering, Abraham just listened to God and he went. Let's look at Isaiah 1 and verse 19.
You are willing and obedient, and you shall eat the good of the land.
And that God promises. Just be willing and obedient. We did say before that obedience is one of the keys of salvation. Let's now look at 1 John 3 and verse 22.
And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
That's right. We have to do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. By being obedient, we have to enjoy these things, looking forward to doing them. Our spiritual inheritance is the land of promise and can only be attained by living a life of faith and obedience, of which requires continually going from faith to faith. When we are consumed with the carnality of our minds and worldly pleasure, we are forsaking our spiritual inheritance for something that is temporal. We need, number three, to walk in strength and courage. We need to walk in what? Strength and courage. One of the things that God delights in is that of representing us with challenging circumstances that in the natural scene seems somewhat difficult or uncomfortable to us. It is during times like this that we must approach whatever it is with courage and strength in God, if we are to gain the inheritance that God has ordained for us to walk in. Joshua experienced this as he faced the monumental task of leading the children of Israel into the promised land after wandering aimlessly for 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua 1 and verse 6, it says,
be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide us an inheritance, the land which I swear to the fathers to give them.
So God is saying that he swears that he will give. So we have to be of good courage. Now, there are many times in our lives that only after experiencing courage and exercising that courage to deal with something that the peace of joy of God will come. So sometimes if we're not exercising that courage, then we will not experience that peace and that joy that God will give us. Number four, we need to give your life for it. We need to give our lives for what we believe in. Whatever we give our lives to, whether it is some carnal pursuit or spiritual pursuit, we will reap what we sow. Therefore, if we give our lives for the kingdom and the inheritance that comes with it, we will reap the blessings that come with it. Matthew 13, verse 44 says,
again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
Can you imagine if we could recognize what is in this message? This scenario is saying that this man went and sold all that he had and went to buy that field because in that field was hid treasure. We have the treasure and we are not seeking for it. May the Lord help us. Now, number five, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it how? Heartily. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says,
And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
Amen. God is saying here, whatever we do, let's do it heartily. Let's do it with gladness, knowing that we shall receive a reward. God has promised us that reward. Now, let us remember, this is our inheritance. It belongs to us. Use it for the glory of God and draw from the well of salvation, and you will fulfill with the abundance of God's blessing He has given to us. May the Lord have mercy upon us. May He bless us and keep us. May He cause His face to shine upon us and fill us with His sweet Holy Spirit. I do trust that even one person was blessed by this presentation tonight. Again, the concluding remarks. Remember, this is our inheritance. It belongs to us. Let us use it for the glory of God and draw from the well of salvation, and we shall be filled with the abundance of God's blessings He has given to us. Blessings to you. Any concerns, any comments, any thoughts, any questions?